Hey guys, how you doing? It's Coach Treggs here from 30 Plus Men's Fitness and welcome to the 30 Plus Men's Fitness Podcast. Now, first things first, I apologise. I've not done a podcast for, it must be about 8 months now. There's been so much going on with the business, including the launch of many new locations of 30 Plus boot camps across the country. It's been an exciting time. We've set up our free global community on Facebook and we now have close to 7,000 members in that group. We're giving them daily support, motivational videos, workouts, tips, etc., etc. And we're just building this great tribe of over 30s men across the country who are just looking to basically improve their health, regain fitness, and, you know, be able to run around after their kids. That's why we're doing it. But guys, I'm really excited today because I'm sat by a very good friend of mine, somebody I've known a long time and somebody who I've been working with for the last 6 months because I wanted a little bit of a change in direction with my training. I also wanted somebody to hold me massively accountable with a busy schedule of running a business, traveling, kids, all that kind of stuff. And so I contacted my old friend at Christmas. Been working with him now for bang on 6 months. It's been a great journey. But this guy also has an awesome story to tell of his journey. He has been competing in the bodybuilding world for many years. He's recently set up his own personal training business and is already very, very successful due to his great reputation. I am sat by my good friend, my mentor, the Italian Stallion, aka the Guru, Renzo Algieri. How are you, my friend?
Okay, I don't think I'm a stallion. Yeah, I'm all good. Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for asking me to do this.
Okay, yeah. Actually, guys, this is the second time we've recorded it because Silly Treggs didn't record the first one. So I already know what's going to go down on this podcast and you're in for a great listen. So, Renzo, for those people that don't know you, that don't follow bodybuilding, tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us where your obsession with training all began because it's a fantastic story. Over to you.
Okay, well, I'm 56 years old and I've trained for, I don't know, in the region of 35 years. I competed in the early part of my career and then I had a break. Made a comeback a couple of years ago. Won the Welsh title, won a British title, went to the World Championships and got second in the world. So, wow. You know, it was a great last couple of 2 years for me, really, really good, really very successful. And that then gave me the impetus, the motivation then to, you know, give something back to the sport and start coaching.
So tell me where it all began, mate. Where did it hail from? Where were you born? Where were you raised? What got you into exercise?
Well, looking back, I find this, the whole story quite amusing now, but at the time it was quite serious for me. I was born in Pembrokeshire in a small town called Haverford West. By Italian parents. When I was 14 years old, my elder brother, sneaked me into an 18 movie and it was called Enter the Dragon. I thought it was all about monsters, you know, hence the name Enter the Dragon. So I was looking forward to seeing these dinosaurs and things like that. But I ended up seeing this perfectly formed human being, Bruce Lee, and I was totally astounded by his body. I was blown away by it, in fact, and in the end, he became sort of like my childhood hero, and I had posters of him all over the...
So this is in the 70s, right?
This was 1974.
Sure, okay.
And so, of course, there was no internet or anything like that. Then it was just, you know, poor types of TV and cinema. So I started to emulate Bruce Lee. So anything I get a hold of, magazines, anything like that... I started to do thousands and thousands of press-ups, had no clue about nutrition, no clue about training, to be honest with you. Thousands of sit-ups, thousands and thousands of press-ups. And that's how it all began.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, now you've got this great story that you've told me many a time, and you told it before we lost the recording, about you all of a sudden starting to get a little bit wary, a little bit body conscious from something that happened at school, resulted in you going to the doctor. Tell the lads that are following what exactly happened.
Yeah, well, I'd been doing all this sort of training for around 2 years, and I developed quite a nice little physique, but I knew nothing of physiques or muscles or muscle groups. We were in the changing room one day after a PE session with our tops off, and the guys looked at me, and they said, Algieri, which is my surname, hey, Algieri, you've got tits. And I thought, And I just laughed it off. But, you know, deep down inside, I got really worried. And I thought, what the hell's going on? I've got tits. So I went home, told my mum, and my poor old mum didn't understand either. So off we went to the doctors, told him my predicament, and he asked me to take my top off. And he really wasn't amused. He was quite angry, in fact. He said, Algerie, they're not tits. They are pecs. They're muscle. Well, you can imagine the elation. I didn't care how angry he was. I was out of there. And that was really the start of something big for me.
So he wasn't too happy with you, no?
He wasn't too happy with me, no. But do you know what? I didn't care. As soon as he said muscle, that was it for me. Yeah, I was hooked.
So how old were you at the time, Rent?
16.
Excellent. Yeah. Okay. So obviously you went away, you carried on training, you had a sort of spring in your step. And then you went to your first ever bodybuilding competition.
Well, before that, I was into martial arts. Sure. So I practiced the Japanese karate called Wadaru, and I got up to a really high level. In the end, wow. I got up to about fourth degree black belt, fourth dan.
Wow.
Around 20 years old, a friend of mine suggested that we go and watch a bodybuilding show for a laugh, to see these guys all oiled up and, and with tan on. So off we went.
And this was down in Haverford West, right?
No, I can't remember where the show is. I think it was probably near Exeter or something.
Okay, right.
It was far away, but, sure. You know, we wanted to see one. It was quite, you know, we thought we'd have a good laugh.
Right.
But when we went there and we saw the crowd's reaction to these guys and their physiques were phenomenal, I was completely blown away. And then I suddenly knew what I wanted to do.
Really?
Just like that, yeah.
Wow.
It was an incredible experience. And then so I began bodybuilding. And 3 months later, I was on stage.
Okay, right. Hold on there. So you went to your first show, totally blown away. So you're already in good shape, right?
Yeah, reasonably good shape.
So 3 months later, you're on stage.
Yes.
Now you've got this amazing story about your prep for that show, because obviously you you told me that you didn't really know a lot about nutrition.
No.
Didn't really know what you were doing, to be fair. Tell the lads about this prep and actually how you felt and who advised you. Did anyone advise you? Tell the lads about the first prep for the first show.
Well, the very first one, I wouldn't even call it a prep. I had really no clue about nutrition. So I just ate meat and eggs and tuna, basically. And that was it. I got in reasonably good shape.
Right. No carbs at all?
No, not really. No. The old thing was, if you ate anything that was carby, that you would get fat, and of course I didn't understand any of it, so I just stuck with that.
Sure.
And it was a short prep anyway, as I said, it was 12 weeks, and it wasn't even scientific, nothing was, you know, measured or anything like that, and I managed to get third place in my first ever, it was the junior Mr. Wales, and I got third.
So you were how old?
Just turned 20.
Yeah. Okay, so in terms of your training for that prep, because obviously you were doing a lot of, like you said, you were doing a lot of martial arts. You'd also been doing lots of body weight stuff like push-ups and sit-ups. I take it you were going to a gym. What was your routine? Was it a split routine? How many times a week were you training, et cetera, or did you really not have a clue?
Not have a clue, to be honest. Yeah, I went to a local gym. The equipment was made out of car parts at the time. And anybody who was any good at making stuff, like mechanics and carpenters, actually made the gym, to be honest with you.
Wow.
So, and we lifted those things, and you know, they were good enough to develop a pretty decent physique, to be honest with you. Yeah. So no, I didn't have a routine as such. Usual stuff, you know. My legs were pretty good from martial arts, so I didn't even train them.
Right.
And you know, chest and arms, and usual rubbish. Yeah. You know. Yeah. So.
Okay, so you got on stage. How did you do?
I came third, as I say.
Okay, sorry. Yep.
Yeah, so I was over the moon. So then I was approached by a guy called Paul Grant, who would become my hero, my mentor. Paul Grant is in the documentary called Pumping Iron, if any of you ever see that.
Right, yeah.
So
yeah.
I would advise you to see it. It's great. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right.
And Paul Grant actually approached me, and in his deep Swansea accent, he said, no. He came up to me and said, now listen to me now, boy.
I
was really intimidated. There was this big fella looking down at me, pointing his finger, because he was quite abrupt and aggressive. And he said, listen to me, boy, do you want to win this title? I said, yes. He said, well, listen to me. He said, come and see me every 2 weeks. He said, and I'll teach you. And in a year's time, he said, come back and you will win this title.
Wow.
And I did. I committed to him for a whole 12 months. And 12 months later, I was crowned Junior Mr. Wales.
Wow. So you literally, you off your own back, you travel from Haverford West, go over to see him in Swansea.
Oh, that was a huge thing for me then.
I bet. Yeah.
I mean, we had clapped out cars. Sometimes, you know, I'd break down and I'd just get on the train. You know?
So a year later, so basically within the space of going to your first ever competition, 3 months later, you're on stage. And then a year later, you'd been prepped properly and you won.
Well, I wouldn't say it was a proper prep, but it was the best I could do. I had my son was just
born. I was going to ask you about this,
My son was just born, Nico, and we were totally skint, to be honest with you. I was a postman at the time, and so I never worked my calves. I had fantastic calves from just walking around. But we had no money, so my diet basically consisted of 2 cans of tuna and 20 eggs a day.
Wow.
For 8 weeks.
Wow.
But I lost every little bit of body fat, and that got me the title.
And I suppose because you were saying you were a postman as well, that was great for the sort of cardio, the low intensity.
That was my list, but I was carrying around the heavy bag as well.
Okay, so just talking about the family there. Obviously, if the guys don't know, you've got two kids. They've grown up now. They're probably a bit younger than me. And tell us a little bit about how you managed. In the early days with the training, the prep, you know, being a postman, young family. How did you manage all that?
It was really difficult. But, you know, I've got a very competitive nature. And once I commit to something, then it becomes tunnel vision. Of course, you know, family was at the top of the tree. But, you know, that's all part of the prep. You have to take all that into account. But then you have to be focused on what you want to do. And that's how I really lived my life. It was quite boring. I didn't do what other young guys did at that time. So I basically trained, ate, slept, worked, and looked after my family.
But you said this great story about how you would go to the gym, wouldn't it, like 4 a.m, and then come back and feed your son or something like that you were saying
before?
Yeah,
well... We all had keys in those days. There was no danger of anything ever getting pinched.
Oh, it's all car parts.
unless you had a broken down car.
Right. So. Yeah.
But we could go any time, and being a postman and my hours suited. Sometimes I was in the gym at 4 a.m. in the morning.
Wow.
So I'd do my workouts, my heavy lifting, then get home, have some food, and then look after my family. And you know, other days it would be going to work early, and then I didn't have a car. I'd walk to the gym, walk home. You know, so it was quite tough.
So you're very tunnel vision. That was your pure focus. You had no other sort of external interest to sort of send you off the kind of the path that you were on, though.
I think, you know, if you look at any champion in any discipline, they've always got to be have some sort of tunnel vision towards their goal.
Yeah.
And I think that's how, I think that separates the champions from, you know, the excuse makers.
Sure.
So, yeah, I was. I was very focused on what I wanted to do.
Okay, so let's go back to, obviously, when you were, the kids were growing up, you were training a lot, you were competing a lot. Who were your biggest inspirations at that stage then? Obviously, moving on from Bruce Lee being a teenager, etc. Who were your biggest inspirations then?
Well, it was definitely Paul Grant.
Yeah.
In Swansea. Yeah. He was my biggest inspiration. He'd had kidney failure, he was on dialysis, and yet he was still training harder than anyone I ever know.
Wow.
So, you know, I recall him squatting 600 pounds for 20 repetitions, and this is a guy who was ill on a dialysis machine.
Wow.
So he to me, he was phenomenal. He was superhuman. And then my other inspirations were same as everybody else.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Sure. You know, so. Sure. Okay, great stuff. So let's talk about the sort of in between your sort of 20s and 30s. Okay, kids were growing up. You were still based in Haverford West?
Yes.
How many times did you compete? Well, let's just talk about over the years. How many times did you then compete over the years?
Well, we did lots of competitions in those days, and it was almost, it's not like these days, it's really serious stuff. Then it was a lot of fun. And in those days, you had to qualify for the Mr. Wales. These days, anybody can just enter. You know,
right.
You can get somebody off the street and enter. But in those days, you used to have 3 qualifiers, and you had to go to those qualifiers to make it to the finals. So you knew that everybody at the final was good. So I did lots of local competitions.
Right.
I did one in London. It was called the Stars of Tomorrow. It was the first ever one. It's been going ever since. And I placed 3rd there. So I knew I had something special. Mm. I represented Wales at the European Championships as well. Didn't come anywhere, but it was a learning experience. So yeah, there was lots and lots of competitions, and I was also involved in couples with my wife, my ex-wife. Yeah.
Right. She did very well, didn't she? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we did well, as a
yeah.
She didn't individually. We competed as a couple.
Wow.
And,
okay.
Because in those days they had a couple. They have them now, but not so much. But yeah, we used to do guest appearances as well as couples. So it was exciting times.
And so all of this, you know, you're talking about all these competitions, et cetera, et cetera. But was any of this paid? Did you get any help at all? Did you win any prize money? Tell us about that.
No, amateur bodybuilding is no. I mean, there are some competitions today that offer prize money. And
right.
It's getting better. But in those days, it was purely for the love of the sport. You know, you funded yourself. You travelled everywhere yourself.
Incredible.
You know, it was expensive, but
but
you had to love what you were doing, and of course, it was the titles at stake as well. For me, it was always the title, not the cost.
So you've got this great story about when you won your first competition, and you were telling me about the prep leading up to it, and getting up every morning and doing your walking, and you know, just suffering basically with your diet, etc., etc. But there was one thing that kept you going, and you wanted to win. And
do you mean the comeback?
Sorry, we'll talk about the comeback now. Yeah, okay, so sorry, mate, we're getting confused on the first one.
Yeah.
But in terms of all the prep you did, and you were telling me about how you would just set your alarm, get up at 4:30 in the morning to do your fasted cardio, we'll talk about that in a second. Extremely tunnel vision, right? And going through a lot of pain, you know, cutting your carbs, training, and not getting enough sleep, not wanting to get up and pound the streets. You always tell me about how important it is to get up and do your fasted walks. What's that feeling like when you get on stage? Because I think a lot of people that are not into bodybuilding, they see the guys on stage and think, oh, they look great. But inside, they probably feel like shit.
You're absolutely right, yeah. You know, when you look your best, you actually feel your worst. I mean, though, competitive bodybuilding is extreme.
Yes.
And very, you know, something like 1% of the population have ever been had the success to get up on stage at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a painful experience. But, you know, I had a really good reason to do it.
Yep.
My reason for doing it was Julie, my wife. She'd never seen me compete. My wife is Julie's disabled as well. And she just asked me one day, she said, you know, Renzo, I'd love to see you compete one day. And that was the trigger. I don't know if you've ever seen the Rocky movie when he's by the side of the bed of his wife. And she just wakes up and says, win.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, it was a bit like that for me.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It was
because you'd been out of the game a while, hadn't you?
22 years I'd been out of the game. So, so I was making a comeback after 22 years, knowing not really what I was going to face. But I, you know, doing my usual tunnel vision thing, I went to the extremes, I guess, in everything. You know, as you said, Mark, I was up early hours of the morning. The alarm would go off, and off I'd go pounding the streets of Cardiff for an hour. Coming back, having my first meal, prepping all my meals for the day, training in the gym, cardioing again at night, practicing my routines. So I was in effect training four times a day, you know, and it just got the best out of me, to be honest with you.
Right, right. What was your food like on an average day, getting right near to that competition, just so the lads?
Yeah, okay. I'll give you a little example of a six meal plan that I had.
Yeah.
After my walk, I'd have 100 grams of chicken, 100 grams of salmon fried in coconut oil, and lightly steamed spinach. That was my meal number one. Meal number two, I'd introduce some carbohydrates. I'd have 60 grams of rice and 150 grams of chicken. Meal number three would be 60 grams of rice and 200 grams of white fish, usually cod loin.
Yeah.
Meal number four would be exactly the same, but without the carbs. Meal number five would be exactly the same without the carbs.
Yep.
And meal number six would be 10 egg whites scrambled in coconut oil before bed.
Just a question on the whole egg white, egg yolk thing, because obviously we all know eggs are great. It's a bit of a myth that the yolk is bad for you. I remember when you were getting me ready for my tour and you had me on like the 10 egg whites. Somebody said, why has he got you on egg whites only rather than the yolks? What was your reason behind 10 egg whites?
Yeah, there's nothing healthier than a whole egg, to be honest with you. But, you know, when you've got you focused on a competition, and as I said, it's all extreme.
Yes.
So you're cutting out certain amounts of fats from your diet.
Sure.
So there's a percentage of my diet would have fats. So my salmon would provide that. My supplements would provide that. So I had to remove a certain percentage of those fats.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason. There's nothing wrong with whole eggs at all.
And it was the same pretty much every day.
Do you know what? The same
pretty
much every day for 6 months, guys.
Wow. And you know when we talk about consistency, guys, and I often pop up in the groups and I say, you know, you got lads that are just, they go out on a piss all weekend and then it's like, right, I'm going to do something extreme. Like I'm going to go less than 1,000 calories this week. Like, guys, like it's all about consistency. And I'm not talking about, you know, doing a 6 month prep like Renzo did then, but it is about consistently eating well, training well, getting your good sleep, trying to limit stress. It's bloody hard, we know that, as busy over 30s men. But I hope what you're getting from this podcast so far is you can see how consistent you need to be, how consistent you need to be with your training and your nutrition. And yes, obviously, Renzo did take it pretty extreme at times, and we're not saying that you want to get into contest prep or anything like that. But even if you just don't want to get into contest prep and you want to get into good shape, that's where that consistency has to come from. You have to be moving, you have to be eating right. Okay, don't do anything extreme. Try and lay down some foundations for a couple of weeks. All right, guys, and move forward from there. So we're going to crack on. Okay, loads of more questions I've got here for Renzo. So we've had a real good insight into your diet, into your prep, everything like that. Tell us about a bit more about your training, because you've already said you're 56 now, and you know, to me, you're an inspiration to me, Renzo. You're almost 20 years older than me, in amazing shape, like amazing shape. And I remember meeting you in the Marriott 20 years ago, because I used to train in there with my ex-girlfriend Amy, and we always thought you were the guru then. So tell me about, you've trained solid all your life, but how has your training changed now? You're in your 56. Because you often say to me, you say, you know what, you say to me, Treggs, I feel fucking great. And there's so many men your age, you say, that are just sat there and they got no sex drive, you know, their testosterone is through the floor, they got no get up and go, and they just sat there feeling like, oh, fucking hell, is this it? So how do you feel?
Yeah, there's a lot of guys who have given up. And you are right, I do feel absolutely fantastic. And I made the fatal mistake on my comeback. I actually did a little experiment. I did a 16-week trial to see how I would do. But I went back to what I did when I was in my late 20s and early 30s, just before I retired from bodybuilding, and trained the same way as I did then.
Right.
And it didn't work.
Really?
No.
Okay, so what didn't work?
Well, my joints, my ligaments, everything was stronger then. I was able to lift huge poundages. Tried that again. Didn't get any muscle stimulus whatsoever.
Right.
Even with my diet, I was okay with carbs in the old days. It's quite high carbs. So I had to reduce my carbs, increase my fats, my good fats, my essential fatty acids. And I had to reduce the weight, improve my form, and use higher reps.
Wow.
And I actually gained muscle. And, you know, where people say you can't gain muscle as you get older, you can. But you have to get your research right. Your supplements have to be right. Your food
has
to be right.
We'll talk about supplements in a second.
Your food has to be right. And your training has to be right. And I found that higher reps, very little rest in between sets, actually stimulated muscle growth.
Wow.
So yeah, that was the change.
So that was a change.
Yeah.
In your training, and obviously we said with regards to your nutrition.
Yeah.
But you know, I know you very well, and I know that you just live and breathe this. You're pretty. I mean, we'll talk about, you know, the weekend, and you'll bollock me for having a couple of pints. But then, you know, but then you tell me that you've had a couple of whiskies. So you have got a balance, haven't you? But then generally, you live this life. You're not out partying, or you're looking after your wife. So you are consistently on it, right?
Yeah, well, you know, my life isn't miserable by any means.
No.
I have a lot of fun. I've got a great life. I've got a great home life. But you have to make this into a habit. And that's the secret. Mark says consistency, and he's right. Because if something's a habit, you will do it consistently. So you've got to get used to doing something. So, you know, if you're used to having lots of beer and lots of pizzas, you will carry on doing that. So the transition is difficult, but once you've done it, like anything, if it becomes a habit, you'll carry on doing it.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, excellent, mate. And that's what you do, right?
Yeah, that's what
but,
I do.
But you have a couple of little... Well, tell the guys, you have a little whiskey, don't you?
Yeah, I'll have a shot of whiskey. And, you know, if I go and see my parents-in-law and they've cooked a meal that I don't normally eat, I'll still eat it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not the end of the world.
This is really key because I think, and I've been through this as well when I have my own issues, I would start panicking about social occasions because, oh, I'm eating clean and I don't want to go here because I can't have that and all that. But... I'm kind of over that now, but that can be a problem. You get people, they're popping up in the groups and they're saying, oh, Tregs, I'm going here and I don't know what to do. And I'm like, look, I'm going on a stag do. What should I do? And I go, well, what do you want to do? I want to have a few beers. Well, go and have a few beers because you have to enjoy your life, right?
Yeah, you do.
Because as long as you're putting in the work the rest of the time, then social occasions, you know, going to your folks for dinner, having a birthday, a stag do, you should be able to go and enjoy those things. Do you agree, Renz?
Absolutely agree. Yeah. And do you know what? You know, this is how most people fail, is because they don't have a goal.
Right.
If you set yourself small goals, you will be consistent with things and you can still go and enjoy your
life. Yes.
You can still go for that meal. You can still go to that stag do. As long as you've got that focus, that goal in your mind. So you set it 12 weeks ahead. Yeah, I want to lose so many inches around my waist, put another inch of muscle on my arms. They're goals and you measure them on a weekly basis, not on a daily basis, because that's not realistic. Mm. You hardly see any changes on a daily basis. But if you do it on a weekly basis, you can, you know, you get excited about it and that will give you even more the impetus to stick to it.
I like this. I like this a lot, mate. We're really getting into it now. So, okay, recovery now. And so we're going to talk about your recovery and then I'm going to ask you a little bit about supplementation because I know what you told me last time was really good and I'd never looked at it like that before. So tell us about your recovery now as you flex those biceps at me, Renzo. How'd you recover? Do you take days off? Tell the lads.
Well, you've got to take days off from working certain muscle groups, of course, because that muscle group, you can't, for example, train legs every single day because they'd never recover. No. So once you've trained a muscle hard, there's a couple of things you've got to do. You've got to rest it.
Yep.
And you've got to feed it.
Yes.
Okay? Once you've trained it, you've got to get nutrients into that muscle as fast as possible.
Right.
Any delay can set off the catabolic process. And your muscles will actually not respond and they will not grow or they will not get stronger.
Okay, so tell us about, before we go into the supplementation thing, tell us about how you structure your training now at the age of 56 so that you ensure that you've got maximum recovery and maximum gains.
Yeah. Okay, well, I actually only train each body part once a week, but I really give it a good hiding, to be honest with you. So, for example... Monday will consist of my chest and biceps. Tuesday is usually legs on their own, so you can give them a right hiding.
Ooh.
Wednesdays is then a day off because I've done upper body and lower body, so I have a complete day off. I may do some lists, low intensity cardio.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Yep, yep.
And then Thursdays I'll do back and triceps. So it's a pull-in movement and a push-in movement, so it's not antagonistic. And then Fridays I'll work my shoulders because I think the shoulders actually display a physique at its best. They give you that X frame.
Yeah, yeah.
And then weekends I won't lift any weights, but I will do a little bit of cardio.
Brilliant. Yeah. Okay, and that you find that really works for you?
Yeah, it really works at my age, but you have to hit it hard.
Okay.
You
know? Yep. And okay, great. Right. So what we are going to do now, Renzo, is we're going to get into a talk about supplementation. Now, like I said, you gave me a really interesting view, perspective on it before. I want you to tell the lads because there was a little bit of a talk in our global group before. So there was a couple of things about, you know, supplementations. I mean, there's a lot of crap out there. We know that.
Yeah.
I know that in my 20s, I was just trying, you know, all these protein shakes. I was trying creatine, not really knowing how to load it, you know, fat burners here and there. And, you know, to be honest, did a lot of them work well? Possibly. But then my diet wasn't always great. So my kind of belief is, look, if you're going to use supplements, they're very much the icing on the cake to a clean diet, a balanced lifestyle, training regularly, And you know. So, for example, if you're, how can I say? So, if you take like a greens drink, for example, well, if you then drink like five or six lagers throughout the day and have a kebab every night, really, you're probably not going to get the best out of that greens drink. But if you've got a healthy diet and you're training, and you know, you maybe don't get your greens in every day, and you want to get a greens drink, maybe that's going to benefit you. But Renzo has a slightly different take on the whole supplementation thing, because he believes that there is a massive place for them in terms of actual performance and recovery. So I'm going to let Renzo talk about his supplementation and why he thinks supplementation is key.
Okay, well, there's two things to supplementation. First of all, I'll use vitamins and minerals as an insurance policy. Now, let me explain a bit about that. You could say that, oh yeah, all you need is good, healthy, organic food. That's fine. But there's things you've got to consider. Let's take a potato, for example, an organic potato. Where was it grown? What were the soil conditions like? What is the air pollution like in that area where that organic potato was grown? How long was it stored for? Say you go to Tesco's and buy a beautiful organic potato and it's nice and white and fluffy. It might have been in storage for 6 months. You don't know how much vitamin C it's lost. So my vitamins and minerals ensure that although I eat nice, healthy food, by bringing in those vitamins and minerals, I can guarantee that I'm getting all the nutrients that I need. And secondly, when you're exercising and you're putting your body under immense stress, even with jobs, folks, your body requires more vitamins and minerals than just food. Okay, so you're actually topping it up. Okay, so that's the first part. On vitamins and minerals. Yep. I absolutely believe them, and I know they've worked for me over the years. Okay. That's why I'm a lot better looking than Mark. Who's 20 years younger than me.
Right, I'm going to up my vitamin C, that's
okay.
It.
All right, so that's vitamins and minerals and fish oils, etc. Okay, now the second part is performance and body composition. And I remember reading you guys on Facebook talking about saying that all you need is good food. Well, actually, guys, you're missing the trick. And there is human data out there. And if any of you ever want it, I can get that to you, okay? If you take a supplement, let's take an ergogenic supplement. Let's take a very simple one, like caffeine, okay?
A pre-workout.
Okay? So I have a caffeine supplement and Mark has a banana, okay? That banana has to go through the digestive process. It'll take a while before Mark feels the benefits of those sugars in his bloodstream for training. My caffeine supplement will take minutes to get into my bloodstream. So already my performance would be better than Mark's.
Yeah, yeah.
So if my performance is better, then my muscle quality is going to get better. Okay.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense.
All right, so that's the first part. Now here's the recovery bit. So why don't then, after I finish the workout, go home and have a nice chicken and a nice, beautiful salad, okay? Well, why do I have a protein drink straight afterwards? A hydrolyzed whey protein. Well, this is the reason, and it's been proven as well. Your body, as soon as you finish training, needs those nutrients into the bloodstream as soon as possible, okay? If I get that hydrolyzed whey protein within my bloodstream within 15 to 20 minutes, my body's already started to repair and recover, okay? You might have to go home, shower, cook, okay? It might be an hour and a half from the time you eat, okay? By that time, your body's gone into a catabolic state. You've missed the window, okay? That hydrolyzed whey protein has already done its job for me. Hour later, I can go home and eat.
Right, okay? Yeah.
So this is the key. Now, it's also been proven that a protein supplement before and after training has, in fact, increased protein synthesis within the body by over 300%. There's human data to prove it, guys.
Wow.
So don't diss supplements. They are important. There is a place for them. They're not here to replace good food by any means. Good food is king. But supplements have their place.
I love the way you talk about the vitamins and minerals being the insurance policy. I really like that. Because like you said, eat good food, but this is ensuring that the nutrients get straight into the body.
Yeah, well, it's ensuring that you're getting the nutrients that you're supposed to be getting
from the food. Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. And I mean, talking about pre-workout, I know a lot of lads that are in the group, and me included, that have used pre-workout. And I can hand on heart say I've got on with some I haven't got on with. but the ones that I've used in the past have literally have increased, like let's say I had a crap night's sleep with the kids,
yes.
And I've used a good pre-workout,
yes.
You know, half an hour later, I've got my music on and I'm ready to go and I can really put in 100%. So I would totally agree with you.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about you all going out there, guys, and getting jacked on caffeine, but if you can find a pre-workout which is doesn't make you, you know, too shaky or makes you itch or anything like that, I think that's the beta alanine, isn't it?
That's the beta alanine, yeah. That'll give you that prickly feeling.
Yeah,
in the skin.
Yeah.
But I mean, it doesn't have to even be a pre-workout. I mean, even if you
can have
a coffee or if you're having a good whey protein, you're going to ensure that you're not going to have any muscle loss, because protein muscle loss is the worst thing you can have. And that's why guys don't get any results for months on end, and that's why they give up.
Okay, we are absolutely smashing it, Renz. We got 10 minutes to go in this, okay? So supplementation, guys, we know it's important as well, obviously on top of a great diet. So I want to speak to the guru about, that's you by the way, Renz, current trends, okay? Because I know you're a big fan of clean eating, and I know there's the whole sort of if it fits your macro, and these macro coaches on Instagram, they kind of diss the clean eating, and you know, they kind of get their knickers in a twist about it. Well, I've always been an advocate of clean eating. What we mean by clean eating is basically just eating healthy. Just a fucking term. But I want you to give me, because one thing since I've been training, you've given me diet plans, you've never asked me to count my calories or anything like that, but you've said eat this at this time, very much like your prep for your shows.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on if it fits your macros and all these macro coaches saying that, you know, you can fit a Mars bar into your calories and, well, just what's your thoughts on it?
Well, to be honest with you, if it fits your macros is the biggest load of crap I've ever heard.
Okay? Ooh,
really
shit.
Winds me up. Okay. Okay. Well, if a coach comes along and says, okay, how old are you? How much do you weigh? Oh, this is going to be your calorie maintenance. For a start, he doesn't know what your lifestyle is like. He doesn't know what your home life is like. He doesn't know what your work life is like. Have you got a manual job? Have you got a job where you sit down all day? Are you running around with your kids when you get home? So how does he know that 2,000 calories is a maintenance dose? He just has no clue. How does he know how much body fat to muscle ratio your skeletal system holds? Not a clue. So okay, so
how do they work it out? Just based on your BMR or something like that?
Do you know what? I don't even know, because I'm not even interested
in
it. Okay. and this is the next thing that really gets at my goat, okay, is where they say, those 2,000 calories, if at the end of the night you've got to 1,700 calories, you've still got 300 calories that you can have. Well, as long as you can fulfill those calories with any protein, sugar, carbs or fats, you can do it. So what do most people do? They have a cake or a Mars bar and it's fine. Their coach says it's okay. Now, what you're doing here is that you're getting back into bad habits. It's like saying, I'm going to give up smoking, but yeah, you're allowed to have one cigarette a day. Well, then you're not giving up smoking, are you?
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
It's the same with if it fits your macros. If you're allowed to eat rubbish as part of your macro count for the day, it's a total bunch of nonsense, okay? So that's my take on if it fits your macros and these macro coaches.
I know we had a discussion before about, you know, if you were to eat 2,000 calories of, you know, real food, say vegetables, fruit, salmon, you know, broccoli, rice, etc., or you just ate, in comparison, you ate 2,000 calories of pure junk. I think what they're saying is, well, it makes no difference, but I can assure you that you're going to feel completely fucking different if you eat 2,000 calories of real food in comparison to 2,000 calories of junk. Would you agree?
Absolutely, because you've got to look at the nutrient density of a food, okay?
Yeah.
Which is going to give you the most vitamins. Let's say, a broccoli stem, you know, or a bar of chocolate. It's going to be a broccoli stem every time, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get a sugar rush. You're going to get a spike in insulin, and you're going to feel fucking terrible afterwards.
Yeah. If you're living off a load of sugar, you're setting up your neurotransmitters in your brain to crave more. You know, it's like I've often said, once you've had a bowl of sugary cereal, you find yourself going back and having one like half an hour later, because that's your neurotransmitters set up, ready to crave more stuff. And I think if you go back and you track the true essence of if it fits your macros, it started with Alan Aragon. There was people lots asking him questions on bodybuilding.com about, can I have this on a cut or can I have this on a cut? And he basically used to come out with the acronym IFFYM, if it fits your macros. So I think true if it fits your macros coach, flexible dieting coaches are not saying eat 2,000 calories of junk a day. They're saying, well, if you can fit it in and around your healthy meal plan, then it's acceptable. But I think if you go on Instagram, you're going to be led up the garden path, because you know everyone's there, you know, they're all ripped and they're going, yo, I'm eating this pizza, I'm eating this massive ice cream, and it's a little sort of lulls you into a little bit of a false sense of security. I mean, for me, what I want to get you guys doing is eating well, eating clean, because you know a lot of you guys need to get off eating too much sugar. A lot of you guys need to get off eating processed food, because that's going to give you more energy. It's going to give you more get up and go. You know, I'd rather you start the day with a healthy breakfast, no matter what time you eat it. I mean, breakfast just to break a fast, because it's going to actually set you up to perform better. And I know a lot of you guys are probably listening to this. You're fucking falling asleep at your desk. You're absolutely knackered. You're living off 8, 9, 10 coffees a day. And then you might be up in the night with kids. So if we're just recommending you go and eat a load of junk, it's not going to help at all.
I agree.
Yep. Yep. Okay. So we're getting close now, Renz. We're getting close. So I'm going to ask you a few more questions.
All right.
Just to wrap up. So what advice would you give to somebody in their 30s now who's literally, he's listening to this, he might be in the global group. You've talked about your split routine and, you know, you're obviously dedicated to this. You can do it 5, 6 days a week. Let's say you can't get to gym 5, 6 days a week. What advice would you give somebody now in their 30s, no gym experience, that's thinking, God, I should really go and lift some weights, but fucking hell, I haven't got a clue where to start.
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. And I think it's also a big mistake that, you know, a lot of guys do. They realise that they've got to go and do something. They join a gym and just get on with it. And they look at machines, look at the little, you know, instruction thing on the machine and follow it. But my advice is this. You're investing in your body, right?
Yeah.
That's the most important thing you've got, okay? So why not invest in someone who knows what they're doing? Right? Find somebody that you can trust, research them, find out if they're any good, and, you know, hire them as a coach, even for a short term, so that you know what you're doing. You know, so technically you're good. You know what's, you know, how to space exercises apart and what sort of rest periods you've got to have. If you do that, you're ensuring then that, you know, the future is quite bright for you then.
I love this because, listen, guys, you should never be too proud. It's like Renzo said, you're investing in yourself. Look, I contacted Renzo at Christmas to come and have some coaching with him, and he was a bit embarrassed. He's like, you know, Tregs, you've got this great business. Why do you want to come and see me? And I'm like, look, forget all that. I want somebody to hold me accountable to my goals. You've got 20 years experience on me. You're in fantastic shape. I'm better looking than you, but, you know, that's fine. and it's been great for me, guys, because for me, this is taking time out of my day to go and do something for me. I have banter with Renzo. If I'm tired, I've had no sleep with the kids, I've still got to come and train because I've made that commitment. So never be embarrassed, guys, to go and find yourself a trainer, find yourself someone with good experience that can help get you moving, right? Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you don't have to train every day. You know, if your instructor is any good, your coach is any good, then, you know, it's, you know, you could actually, you know, do the whole body within 3 days. So, you know, if you can put three sort of 45-minute sessions out of your time for the week, then you're done. That's not a lot of time, is it?
No, totally. All right, we got one more question. We'll just wait for the door to get closed there. Okay. The lads would have heard you mention LISS, but not everyone will understand what LISS is. And I want you to explain what LISS is, and then we're going to compare it to interval training, because we're a big fan of interval training at 30 Plus Men's Fitness. You're not as big a fan of it.
No.
Okay, but I want you to just sort of explain the difference between LISS and why you would recommend it, why you found it worked better for you over interval training.
Yeah, well, I tried the high-intensity interval training.
Yeah.
Again, to me, it was a new thing when I made my comeback. And I found that by doing that, it took too much out of my body. My central nervous system actually got taxed too much, and I actually began to lose muscle. So I went back to low intensity, steady state. That is LISS.
Okay.
Right, low intensity. You know, you know, you might say it's a bit boring, but if you're staying focused on the goal, okay, then you do it. That's all part of the journey. So,
and when's the best time to do LISS?
Well, the best time to do LISS is early morning.
Yep. Fasted. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
The only fuel that your body's got then to use is body fat. Okay, you haven't given it any food. By all means, take a drink, obviously, before you do it. But there's no food, and your body then uses its own body fat for fuel, and it's great.
Yeah.
High-intensity stuff uses everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He uses glycogen, that's blood sugar. He uses muscle tissue for energy. It's just too taxing.
Yeah. I'm saying you're not totally against it, but what you found is that lists work for you better.
Well, by all means, I'm not against it. Yeah. You know, it has its place again
Absolutely.
In sport.
Yeah.
And it's all goal orientated. So if your goal is to lose body fat, and I think the majority of you guys want to do that, don't you?
Yeah.
And I think lists is the way to go. High intensity will slow your gains. You will lose body fat, but you'll also lose muscle.
Okay, great. That's a great opinion on that. Okay, so we're almost there, Renzo. Okay, we've been going now for 45 minutes.
All right.
So we're going to wrap up in a second. We're going to tell them we got a little something coming. But just quickly, tell us now, what is the future for Renzo Algieri in terms of training, business, potentially competing again? I don't know. Tell the lads, what can we expect from you in the future?
Well, I think that you can expect me to maybe have one more go at competition. It was bitter. it was bittersweet coming second in the World Championships. You know, a second is nothing really, is it? You know, first. I must come first.
Okay.
So I think that's it. That's going to be sometime in the future. I love my coaching. And I didn't realise it was going to be such a good experience. So I want to get better at what I'm doing.
Yep.
And clearly, I'm looking at new opportunities within the business, and one of them is with Mark.
And guys, it's just obviously to wrap up, I can tell you that if you follow what we do, you'll be pleased to know that as on top of the muscle up programs that we've been running, the barbell based programs for guys that want to take it up a notch, Renzo and I are going to ground and starting work on a 12-week online gym-based program. Okay, it's going to be a little bit different to the muscle-up programs. It's going to be focusing more on sort of aesthetic stuff. You don't like the term bodybuilding, but
no, because we're here. Then that the program is going to be really aimed at changing your shape, guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody, you know, this the whole industry is based on image.
Yeah.
So we want to want you guys to look better, more muscular, muscular, sexier, slimmer waists, wider shoulders, and we're going to base the whole program on that.
Yeah, so guys, if you've been through one of the muscle up programs, this is really going to sort of put the icing on the cake. But it's going to be open to everyone. We're going to be talking about it a lot on our Facebook page and inside the global group. Expect quite a lot from me and Renz now. I'm really pleased to be working alongside him. He's shown me a lot, and I've got a lot to be thankful to him for, and really looking forward to bringing you guys something, which is, I think, is going to be a really key element to what we do moving forward, guys. So we've been talking now for over 47 minutes. Renzo, as soon as I hit stop on this, I'm going to save it, okay? And we will get the jingles on it, and we will get this out. So it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, my friend.
Oh, it's been amazing. And, you know, it's been a privilege as well, and thank you for asking me to be part of the global group. I'm privileged.
Pleasure. And guys, we'll get this, we'll get it out in the group to you guys, and obviously Renzo's in the group. Any questions, you can ask him, drop him a PM, but you know where we are. So guys, once again, thanks for listening. If you found this on iTunes, then please just leave us a review, and why not share it, guys, so we can help spread the 30 plus men's fitness message. Just want to thank you all again for all of your support. I'll talk to you in the global group, I'll talk to you in Facebook, and keep on trucking, guys.